Welcome to Park Valley Church's Sermon of the Week. It doesn't matter if you have been a Christ follower for years or new to the Christian faith, you have come to the right place. Listen in as one of our campus pastors shares how to apply biblical truth in a tangible way. As you listen, we pray you have an encounter with Jesus that leads to real and lasting life change.
You guys can be seated. Thank you guys for being here. Welcome. Did anybody come extra early? Did anybody come for the 11:30 service and you ended up being here early? No? All right. Well, the adjustment was this morning at the 8 o'clock or the 8:15 service. That was like just that little extra time. I was like, oh, man, dragging a little bit. We used to do an 8 a.m. service, and it was an express service. So this was over in the old building. We called it an express service. We would do 8 o'clock, two songs, and then Barry would like chop his message in half, basically. We try to get out like at 40, 45 minutes so we could do the next services. So that was an interesting time. So anybody around for the express services? Anybody remember that at all? No. All right. Well, welcome. I'm excited to get the opportunity to speak to you guys here today. And before I jump into stuff, I wanted to definitely promote again our marriage seminar that's coming up on April the 20th, and it's going to be from 3 to 5 p.m., first off, and I had somebody ask me in between the first two services, and we're like, well, is it just for, like, people maybe whose marriages are kind of on the rocks with things or whatever? I was like, no, it's like, it's for anybody. I was like, if your marriage is great, you're invited. Like, come on. Like, what a great way to keep your marriage great, by coming out to a marriage seminar and learning some stuff. So we'd definitely invite you to be out to that. And we'd ask that you sign up for it as well, just so we know how many people are coming. We have childcare as well. I do have some fine print with the childcare. If you have the ability to have some grandparents or family or somebody watch the kids, that would be amazing, because we're already up over, like, I think 170 kids that are signed up for this. And so it's interesting. It'll be interesting. 170 kids all at once for 2 hours to keep them. We're going to just throw them all into the gym and just put some more, bumpers up around the wall and let them go do their thing for a little bit. So, yeah, if you don't have childcare, obviously we're ready to go, and the team is making plans for it and everything. So we'd definitely love for you to come out. We want to really kind of have this marriage seminar and parenting seminar every year and really make them a pretty substantial thing. We hope that it's a blessing to you all and you guys are able to take a part of it. We had a great Easter. A lot of people came out, which is amazing. And I think I think more so than any number or celebrating any kind of number, I think our hope is that people really made some quality decisions for Jesus, and actually there's some life change involved as well too. If not, it's like, what did we do, you know? And so our whole goal is like, man, we want to see people go deeper with their faith, go deeper with their walk with the Lord. And that's why I'm so excited about this new series called The Word. We're going to be focusing in on Psalm 119. If you don't know, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter of the Bible. For years, I would skip over it because I'm like, man, this thing is going to take me forever to get through. I'm a slow reader. So, but man, there's so much power in Psalm 119. And, we want you to get in the Word. We want you to get in the Word consistently. We want you to have a better understanding for the Word. And we want you to have a desire to obey the Word as well, too. You know, having some, you know, a desire to want to obey what the Lord has put in in the Bible for us. And you know what? That's what I'm speaking on today. So it's not a fun topic, I guess. Nobody wants to hear they have to obey. It's like, we want to be able to go out and do whatever we want, whenever we want. But man, I think that for us as believers, it's important for us to want to strive to just come up under the authority of Scripture and to have a desire to obey the Word. I will say this, that sometimes you can be going through tough times in your life. You can be going through some challenges, and like literally the only thing that gets you through is holding on to the promises of God. So, man, I want to encourage you guys to be starting to develop a habit of getting in the Word on a regular basis. One of the things that John Mazingo is doing in Gainesville, and we thought, man, this is a great thing. We should do this here as well, too, is to take the 22-day, 22-section challenge in Psalms. And so with Psalm 119, if you don't know, again, it's the longest chapter, but it's broken up into 22 different sections, because each section is written off of one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And so if you were to read a section a day, there's 8 verses in each section. By the last Sunday of the month, when Barry wraps up the series, you would have read the entire chapter. Simple, easy, not a big deal. I know some people are like, I'm reading the whole thing, all 22 days, that's great. You know, but I think it's all about reps. If we can get you some reps in, get you some consistency in, you build a habit. You know, and that's a great habit. That's a good habit to build. How many of y'all will say this? I'm going to read 8 chapters every, or 8 chapters. There you go. 8 verses every morning. I'm going to go through that whole thing with you. Psalm 119. Thank you. And thank you for those who are not going to participate in your honesty. So, I wanted to just talk briefly on the joy of obedience. And I know there's not a lot of thought really that there's a lot of joy maybe in obedience. It doesn't seem like that would be really a thing that would go hand in hand. But man, when you start reading Psalm 119, it's all it talks about here in these first couple verses that we're going to talk about today. You know, I didn't have when I was growing up, I think that for having some parameters on your life is good, especially if you're young in here and everything, when you got some parameters. My parents weren't over the top, crazy strict or any of that kind of stuff, but there's definitely some areas that were like some no-fly zones in our household. And I knew that if I stepped into those, there were going to be consequences and I would be suffering those consequences as well too. And I know that maybe at the time, as I was growing up, I didn't necessarily like it or appreciate it so much. I look back on it now, and I see the bigger picture, and I see their intention behind it, and I'm so stinking thankful that they were people of integrity. They followed. They didn't just put a parameter out there. They put a parameter out there, and then they would follow through with a consequence if I broke that parameter and everything. And so I think that, you know, the Lord gives us a roadmap. He gives us a guidebook to kind of follow. A lot of people don't want to believe it today. A lot of people don't want to, have obedience when it comes to Scripture and everything. People want to point to that it's not current and it's an old book and it's not relevant for today. And things change and society changes and all that stuff. And I would just point to the fact that, no, it doesn't. We need to, as Christians and as believers, we need to obey the Word of God to the best of our ability. I think sometimes we misunderstand our relationship with God, with an almighty God. And I think that sometimes, I know I'm guilty of this at times, just kind of misunderstanding my relationship with Jesus and my expectation of my relationship with Jesus. How many of you guys know Kanye West? Yes. I don't know why every service, everybody laughs as soon as I say, how many of you know Kanye West? Everybody starts laughing. I bought some of his pants, by the way, sweatpants, as a joke. For my kids, I was like, check this out. I can't even put them on. They're so big. So, side note. But doesn't have anything to do with this. But, you know, Kanye West had this whole thing where a couple years ago, he had this radical conversion. He was so outspoken about his faith. And he was put out a Christian album. I mean, he was out there about his beliefs, his faith, and all of that stuff. Now, lately hasn't maybe been so much, been a little quieter about things, maybe not living that kind of lifestyle anymore. And I saw this last week and a half, a little snippet of an interview that he did. And I, full disclosure, I did not see the whole interview, so I don't know if he provided any context for this. I'm taking it for face value, but I just literally saw it and I was like, man, I'm so guilty of that in my life. He goes, I have my issues with Jesus. He said, I prayed and I didn't see God show up in my family. I didn't see him show up in my business and in my music. And I was like, my first thought was like, wow, isn't that such a misguided representation of what our relationship is with God? That's so off. But I'm guilty of it. I know probably you're guilty of it at some point in your life as well, too, of thinking that way. It's like we're in, it's like this transactional kind of approach. God, I'm going to give my life to you, and then you're going to give me all these things. You're going to bless me, and everything's going to go great. You know, we sang the song at the Good Friday night of worship, Jesus paid it all. And then what does it say after that? All to him I owe, right? Not that he also owes me riches beyond my wildest, but you know, all this blessings, whatever. No, it's all to him I owe. He paid it all for me on the cross when he died on the cross. I owe him everything. This is not a business relationship that we're in. So society says, hey, go chase after what makes you happy. If it fulfills you, if it makes you happy, that's the thing that you should be doing. I have beef with that. I know that some of you all might love that, and it's such a great thing. It's such a flowery thing to say. I have some beef with that because I think when you, all you do is chase after the thing that makes you emotionally happy, I think we're misguiding our youth and that setting that expectation for them. Don't get me wrong. I think if you go out and you enjoy that your occupation with what you're doing, I think that's great, you know, but bottom line is I think that for us as believers, I'm talking to you guys as, you know, assuming everybody in here is just, is vibing with church and you've, you know, put your faith and trust in Jesus and all that stuff. You have a different kind of outlook on your approach with things. I would say don't chase happiness, chase obedience in your life. Chase obedience to an almighty God. And I believe as a byproduct, it will lead to fulfillment. It will lead to happiness as a byproduct. But first and foremost, chase obedience. I think it's a dangerous precedent to always be, you know, living your life off of your emotion and how things are going with your emotions. I know this is controversial. I know that this is not a warm, hopeful message. So, you know, bear with me a little bit here. But if the thing that makes you happy violates God's word, what should you do? Obey his word. If the thing that makes you happy violates God's word, then you should obey his word. It's like crickets in here. So, thank you all. We justify, if I had a dollar for every time I heard somebody say, man, but God wants me to be happy, right? And walking away from things in their life, walking away from responsibilities, making horrible character decisions and integrity decisions, hurting other people off of their decisions, I'm going to be like, no, actually not, like at all. He wants you to be obedient. He wants you to obey. And so when I sit there and I look through Psalm 119, these first few verses, I'm going to read through the first 8 verses, and I included verse 9 in there as well, too. It just was like this topic was just screaming at me. I couldn't ignore it. It was just, joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his paths. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. I just put not my own, not my decrees, but yours. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commandments. As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. Please don't give up on me. And I put verse 9 in there. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. And so let's talk about some of this really quick. I will say, first off, a very, very, very brief scratching the surface overview of some of this stuff. I understand that probably some of you can come up here and speak for 3 days straight on Psalm 119 and give a whole seminar on it. And I know that some of you probably have never read one verse in Psalm 119 ever, okay? So we hope that you take the 22-day challenge and you change that. But, you know, most scholars agree that most likely it was either David. I read that some scholars think it was Ezra, Daniel, or Jeremiah that wrote Psalm 119. It's not outright stated. This psalm is written as an acrostic or an alphabetical arrangement, again, of the Hebrew alphabet, which we talked about, 22 letters, 22 sections. It focuses on the joy that's found in keeping God's laws, just like I read. And, you know, one message that's probably more appropriate for life application is really that we're to live a lifestyle that demonstrates obedience to the Lord. And he is a God of order, hence the acrostic structure, not a God of chaos. So we have this book, we have the Bible, we have this roadmap. And I think, again, one of the things that, man, we want you to do is we want you to get in it consistently because, man, the Lord's going to speak to you. He's going to guide your life as a byproduct of it. When we get saved, when we have this salvation, just like what I was talking about earlier, it's like we're turning from our sins. We're letting the old, you know, go away, you know, and behold, all things become new. We're new in Christ and our sins are forgiven. We're covered by the blood. But then the Holy Spirit comes into our life and should start convicting us of things in our life. And so if all you ever do is just get saved, you know, great, that's amazing. It's a phenomenal decision for yourself, but there should be something that stirs inside of you that starts to direct your path, that starts to guide you and starts craving to start having an intimate relationship with an almighty God. You have a hunger to want to get in his word and see what he's telling you about you and about your life and what you should do and how you should live your life. At some point, there should be that kind of desire that starts to take place. They say that commentators believe that the person that penned Psalm 119 was being persecuted by people of power and being ridiculed for his beliefs. And so how powerful is it, instead of cowering away, you know, the author instead goes and writes this declaration of, no, my strength doesn't come from them and their approval. God, it comes from you and obeying your laws and obeying your commandments. What a declaration to be making. And so, where was I? I have literally at every service lost my spot at the same spot. How silly is that? So I'm guilty, you know, kind of, I'm guilty of the opposite that the author has here sometimes. Like, I for a long time I was like shy about my faith. I'm guilty of like hiding my faith at times because, man, I'd like, what is somebody going to think about me? And one of the things that has been the most rewarding things, like for me at least, as I've gotten older, the less I care about anything. Is anybody else like that in here? Oh, that is like the most freeing thing in the world. I cannot tell you, when I was in my 20s, I was just like this tight ball of like just nervousness all the time. Everything that I did, I was so obsessed with the validation or how I was perceived by other people. And I would tell you, that is no way to live your life. If you're living your life that way today, that's a mental prison to be in. That is no way to live your life at all, okay? And it is the greatest thing in the world when you stop, you can pull away from that kind of thinking and living your life that way. The sad thing is seeing people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s still living their life that way. You don't have to live your life that way. But you know what? The moment that you start to step out for the Lord, you start to live your faith, and you start to go out there and do some things for the cause of Christ, you may get ridiculed. You may have people that point to you and make fun of you or whatever. So be it. So be it. We're not after the validation of other people, you know? We're after the obedience of an almighty God. I just want to encourage you to stay steadfast. Don't fall to those types of pressures in your life, you know. Don't be afraid to go just live it out and show people the love of Christ. Again, where am I? You know, with kids, I was like finding good statistics and stories and different things, and I got a good story for you later, don't worry. But I love like stats and stuff because I think it just, numbers speak volumes a lot of times. I was trying to find some stats that show how, you know, when you give kids structure in their life as they grow up, they actually thrive. Like you're raising adults, you're not raising kids. You know, we're trying to prepare our kids. I'm trying to prepare my kids for when they're, you know, married and they're leading their children, you know. So, you know, we have a structure that we've put in place in our house, you know, and kids thrive under that kind of structure. I literally looked up, there is so much stuff. There's so many articles. It's insane that does like deep dives into this stuff. It would blow your mind. But somewhere along the line, we think, well, we've become an adult and none of this stuff is applicable to us anymore. And we can just go do whatever we want, whenever we want. And man, I would just encourage you today that if you have accepted Christ in your heart, you want to be a Jesus follower, that, hey, let's go live it out. Let's go out of these walls and let's be a blessing to people and let's show people what this faith is all about. I believe that the Lord gives us these things not to, you know, beat us over the head or any of that kind of stuff. He gives us these guidelines in his word because he loves us. Because he created us. He knows you intimately. He knows the struggles that you go through, all the challenges that you go through. He knows all of it. okay? And I believe that he's given us these things in his word, because he loves us. You know, sin, a lot of times, it's fun. It's fun to jump into some sin, you know? But what happens is it always, always catches up with us, you know? We have got to be so careful as believers to not let sin's grip get a hold of us and overcome us. So let's talk about a couple points here, and then we'll be done. Like Barry says, three quick points and we're out of here. So Barry cracks me up because a lot of times it's like, it's 2 minutes left in the message. He's like, all right, so three quick points. I'm literally just going to say them. He'll say that a lot of times too. He's hilarious. But point number one is it takes discipline. I know this is a no-duh statement, but it takes discipline to live an obedient life. It takes some discipline. It's not a walk in the park. It takes some consistency, okay? But you know what? Just like a parent who disciplines their child, you know what? If you're young in here today, like, and your parent disciplines you, they discipline you because they love you, because they care about you, because they care for your future. I know it doesn't seem like that now. It seems like they hate me, you know? But they don't, man. They love you. Hebrews 12:1. The whole heading before these verses says this: God's discipline proves his love. And it says in verse 12, you guys know this verse, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. We got to leave that sin behind. We got to let go of those things and let us run with endurance. We run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Not easy, not something that's a walk in the park. It's going to take some consistency. It's going to take some work. Can I say this? We're not free to go out and frame our own version of religion to justify our sin. So many people today want, it's sad seeing this in churches. So many churches will kind of water down truth sometimes because they just want more people in the seats. And they want more people donating, and they want all of that kind of stuff. And so we'll water down and whitewash some things to kind of gloss over some stuff. You know what, guys? Like, the truth can be offensive. It can challenge you. And can I be honest? That's the whole point. That's the entire point of it. And so, thank you. I don't know how to properly respond to clapping yet. You guys know that. I get off... Thanks. That's the whole point. And so you have the choice. You have the decision to make. You either choose to believe it, you choose to follow it, or you choose to not. And that's what it's all about. We as a church, we as a group, we need to stand strong on truth unapologetically. And yeah, it's going to offend, you know. Number two is don't live a compartmentalized life. And I got that basically off of verse 3. I just kind of thought, you know, it says they do not compromise with evil and they walk only in his paths. Sometimes when you live what I mean by a compartmentalized life is that, hey, you got your church hat on now. As soon as you walk out these doors, that hat's going off and you're going to just be doing whatever you want, however you want, whenever you want throughout the week. There's no guide on your life and how you're living your life. Or you've got this sin. We're so good at acting sometimes. We have these things that we do in the dark. And we think, we only know about this. It's our little thing. It's our little sin that we have here. Can I tell you, like, living your life that way, living your life with secret sin, with hidden sin in your life, it's exhausting. It picks at you and it whittles away your self-image and makes you feel like trash. It's no way to live your life. You know, strive to live a life of authenticity. Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Man, strive for authenticity. You're the same behind closed doors that you are in front of people, you know, that you are at a party, that you are at church, that you are with your family, that you're striving to be the same person. It eventually catches up with us and it rears its nasty head and it's not fun. The other thing I wanted to say, this is why I read verse 9, you know, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I just wanted to throw this out there, like, young people in here today, strive for purity. Strive to have purity in your life. You know, strive to obey the word and what the Lord says in with intimacy in your life. There are so many peer pressures against you trying to tell you to just go do whatever you want. Do what, you know, it's all good. You know, guys, I would say, man, strive to save yourself for the person that God has for you in your life. And I will. Thank you. I'm passionate about it now because I see, you know, my kids are stepping into the teenage years and everything. And I'm like, man, if we don't talk about it, guess what? They're walking out these doors and everybody else is hammering them with the other stuff. You know, we've got to be guiding our next generation in the proper way on how they should be going. Young person, don't put yourself, and this goes for all of us, don't put yourself in a vulnerable position where you know you're going to cave as well too. You know, if you're going to put yourself in a vulnerable position, man, steer clear of it. Stay away from it. You know, follow what God has for you and follow God's plan for your life. The other thing I will just say is, as a believer, I believe that, like, sometimes when people know that you're a Christian, like, they kind of subconsciously maybe expect a little bit more from you. They expect you to act a certain way. And, man, we're all, like, just, you know, we're all in the same boat here. It's like we all struggle with temptations. We all struggle with sin. We all fall victim to our flesh and different things like that at times. But sometimes people expect more from you. Embrace it. Don't shy away from it. Don't get angry with it or whatever. Don't expect more from it. Like, don't shy away from that stuff. Obviously, I'm in a different position than a lot of you all, okay? I'm up, you know, here a lot on stage. I'm a pastor. People are going to hold me to a different level. So you won't be at this kind of level. And I understand that everybody has different opinions and convictions on alcohol and all that stuff. But here's my story. How many of you all have ever, do you guys like seltzer water in here? Does anybody like seltzer water? I like seltzer water because I like soda and I don't want to drink soda. It's like candy, just straight candy, sugar going into my veins all the time. So I love seltzer water. It's like I get a little soda, you know, kind of feel, whatever, the whole deal. How many of y'all have heard of Liquid Death? Okay, I know, so everybody's like, ooh. So it's a seltzer water. It's not a hard seltzer. It's just seltzer water. So a week and a half ago, I'm going into Harris Teeter, and I'm like, oh, man, they got all these flavors of Liquid Death. Like, I'm going to try one of these flavors. So I grab me a box of Liquid Death. And I'm walking out in the parking lot, and, of course, I bump into somebody. She could be in here right now. No story is safe from a sermon message, you know, so. But she was like, is that beer? I was like, hey, how you doing? She's like, is that beer? And she didn't say that. She was a little more jabby with what she said. Just being honest. And at first I was a little angry. I was like, what? Like, I don't drink, you know. Why would I go a mile and a half away from the church and go buy a 12-pack, you know? But you know what? I'm so thankful that she said something, because you know what she could have done? She could have just formulated her own opinion and then badmouthed me for the last week and a half to somebody else, you know? And then also, too, like, you know what? Like, glass house mentality up here. In my mind, like, ministry is just glass house mentality. Hold me accountable. That's totally fine. I have zero problems with that. I have nothing to hide with that stuff. But thankfully, I was able to at least say, no, it's just seltzer water. She was like, oh, okay, good for you, you know. But I was like, now I want to go buy like a case of just Corona and just start walking through Haymarket. Is this offensive? Is this offensive at all? No, but you know what? I welcome the accountability. Hold me to a different standard. That's fine. That's what I signed up for, you know. So you will never be held to maybe that kind of a standard or whatever, okay? But bottom line is, don't shy away from those types of things too. I think sometimes we're quiet about our faith because of that. Last thing is, I just wanted to encourage you, just meditating on the word gives you strength. It gives you strength through temptation. Think about it. If like the only time you really are getting any kind of communication with the Lord is at a service, or hearing anything from his word is at a service, it's like that's the only time you're ever getting any kind of input. Guys, temptation is going to overcome you out there when you go out and live your life. Man, meditate on his word. Meditate on his promises. It gives you strength through your trials, you know. You understand that trials are universal, okay? Trials are universal. It's a life thing. It's not a whatever, you know. So instead of blaming God for your trials, you know, we continue to trust him through our trials, okay? And then lastly, it gives you just strength for day-to-day living. I'm telling you, like, the more that you're praying, the more that you're in communication with an almighty God, praying about things that are going on in your life, seeking him and his word, oh my goodness, like the last few months have just been like, I feel like the Lord's just, you know, speaking to me in a bunch of different ways. It's awesome. And so it's like, man, if I was never in prayer with him, if I was never in the word, I would miss it. You know, I wouldn't even be thinking about it. It would be out of sight, out of mind. So meditate on his word. It will give you strength. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? I do recognize in here that I know that a lot of people are all kind of, you know, we're all running different races. We're all kind of at different maturity levels with our faith. So I think, you know, sometimes you can hear obey the word and you're like still struggling with just some basic things that like sin is just gripping you hard and holding you and you are like stuck. So to just even start to think about obedience to the word of God, like it's not even relatable. Like you're just still trying to overcome some basic things in your life. I just wanted to say, don't forget about grace. Don't forget about his forgiveness over your life. You know, we just celebrated Easter, and we celebrated his death, his burial, and his resurrection, him conquering sin and death. And I heard John MacArthur say a statement one time about the gospel that I thought was powerful, really. I never thought about it this way. He says, when God looks at you, he says he doesn't see you. He can't see you. And all of our sin, our wretchedness, our faults, all our hang-ups, all the junk that we bring to the table, he doesn't see you. He says, if you've accepted Jesus into your heart and into your life, when he looks at you, he doesn't see you, he sees his son. Because you're covered by the blood of the Lamb. And so if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, I'd invite you to do so this morning. You don't have to say a prayer out loud. You could just say something very simple and you say it along with me. You could just say, God, I come before you this morning. And God, I know that I'm a sinner. And God, I believe that you died on a cross and shed your blood for me. And I believe in that resurrection as well too. God, please come into my heart and save me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Lord, we love you. Thank you for each and every individual that's in here, God. And I pray for anybody that is struggling to just submit to your authority and to obey and turn from their sin, Lord, with anything that they're going through right now. I pray for anybody in here with a heavy heart who has just been struggling lately, God. I just pray that you comfort them. Lord, I thank you for the price that was paid on the cross for us and for our sins. God, we love you. We thank you. We give you all these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our Sermon of the Week. If you accepted Christ, want to accept Christ, or just want to see what Park Valley Church is about, you can email us at info@parkvalleychurch.com. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.